This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening and welcome to Rock and Roll Autopsy. We are the Forensic Files on your radio dial. My name is Scott, and have we got a great show for you tonight? No, we don't. Damn it! The phone is ringing again. It's the request line. All right, let's pick it up. WRNRA, east of the Rockies.
Hey, man, it's Rico. What's up?
Rico, what's going on, man? It's good to hear from you.
Hey, I just thought I'd break you off a little phone call here. I saw this list, and Eddie Truck melting down about it, and I thought we might want to take a look at it to see if it makes any sense or not.
All right, well, let me call you back. Why don't you get on a landline phone so you don't sound like you're on the moon, and we'll pick this up there, all right?
All right, that sounds good. We'll hook up online.
All right, gang. Yeah, Rico's right. Eddie Trunk, the tweet. Eddie Trunk, who was in, he's entering into full Gran Torino mode.
Get off my lawn.
The tweet is, for those that heard my meltdown today on Trunk Nation SXM, here's the list that sent me over the edge. What do you think, Rico?
Yeah. Oh, hey, man. I'm on now. How's it going?
Great, dude. It's good to hear from you.
Cool.
Man.
Hey, no problem. So Billboard just recently released the list of the 50 greatest rock lead singers of all time. Okay. The first thing that's important to note here before we try and really do the work of figuring out if this list makes sense or not is the criteria. Like, how did they come up with this list? That way you kind of lay some groundwork. And essentially, they don't give a criteria. They just say who they like. They included bands with lead singers, and they left out like who they would consider more solo acts, like Bruce Springsteen, Prince, Joan Jett. Like, those are examples of bands they didn't include because they were more solo acty and not bands with lead singers. Other than that, Scott, they don't say how they came up with the list, which is a red which for me is a red flag. But,
well, Rico, I think obviously you're missing the point here. I mean, clearly Jerry Garcia batted 300 and hit 500 home runs, which is why he's number 44 on the list. And we have a very clear criteria that needs to be met.
Did you see number 40? I'm really happy that she's on the list, actually. Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm happy she made the list because I think she's spectacular. She's phenomenal in a lot of ways. And so I don't really care that she's 40th. That's probably a good spot for her towards the bottom. Simply because she hasn't been around long enough to really have defined herself to be higher in the list.
Right.
I'm just happy she's on the list because I think Alabama Shakes are a really great band. So I'm happy about that.
Well, she's in good company because look who number 39 is.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Paul from the Beatles.
For Paul McCartney, is that criminally low to put him there?
Gosh, man. You know what? I would have him, honestly, it's hard to keep a Beatle off the list, really, but I think for this list, way better as the front man of Wings, because he wasn't really the front man of the Beatles,
right,
but he certainly was the front man of Wings and was a better front man for Wings than he wasn't the front man for Beatles. None of them were. And so I don't think him being on this list as a Beatle works. I think him being on the list as being the front man for Wings does work, actually.
We've got Ozzy Osbourne coming in at 32, way ahead of Paul McCartney. Ozzy's the biggest Beatles fan ever. He'd probably poop himself if he saw that. Seriously. What do you think of Steve Perry at 30? You know, we've never done a Journey song on Rock and Roll Autopsy. It's overdue. But what do you think of Steve Perry at 30?
Wow. You know, Steve Perry as a vocalist, I mean, let's just say that, like, if this list really was the 50 greatest rock and roll lead singers of all time, and
he's top 10,
top 10 for sure.
Maybe top five.
Maybe. Yeah. But as a front man, this is probably okay for him because his vocals keep him from being lower on the list because he wasn't really like a front man. He was just the lead singer of the band. Right. And so I think this is kind of a good spot for him because it's more of a front man list and less of a vocalist list.
I don't know my Journey history super great, but
me either.
I do think, if memory serves, that Journey was kind of like a prog band that was not user friendly for their first couple records. And I think Steve Perry was not on those records. I could be wrong, but I think he was a late addition to the band, and his addition kind of like straightened out the songwriting and propelled them into like superstardom. So in a sense, you know, he kind of like an MVP, kind of like, this is a guy who his voice is like synonymous with like classic rock radio that I grew up with. And it's like perfect for radio, right? I mean, it's like,
for sure,
the music of Journey was like perfect for radio. So in a way, you could argue that he is a great front man because his addition to the band gave them kind of like that shot in the arm and streamlined their songwriting to a place where they could like not be some eclectic prog band like wallowing in obscurity, you know? And right above him on the list, one of your favorite singers, Ann Wilson, who you could argue maybe a little low on the list at 29.
Well, again, I mean, if you call this list a front person list, I mean, was she like rock and roll-y? I mean, no, because Hart was really like a Zeppelin clone in a lot of ways, right? And so again, if you make this a vocalist list, then she's maybe top, in my opinion, top three at least. But as a front person, like, I think probably, God, I hate this. I maybe would put her in the top 20, dude. I think this is a little low for, in fact, I'm going to say it, dude. I think this is way low for her. Maybe not if it's a front person list, maybe not top 10, but God damn, certainly top 15 at least. 29 is kind of, do you agree or not on that?
So, well, it's like it feels like a little disrespectful to her, especially when you scroll up and see that 28 is Anthony Kiedis and they've got him.
That's what I'm saying. When you look at who's above her, that's a kind of a kick in the nuts, right?
He's notoriously flat on everything that he sings. And I love the Chili Peppers, but again, they're selling this. The article's called Best Rock Singers of All Time. And so Anthony Kiedis being so high up on the list when he's notorious, by his own admission, I've read the guy's biography. I mean, autobiography, by his own admission, he struggles singing.
he might be one of the worst singers on this list. He's a terrible singer. How the hell is he in front of Paul McCartney? How is he in front of Corey Glover, for God's sakes? Because he's more well known, and sure, he's a great front man, but shit, dude, some of the people he's in front of is, come on, man. Like,
yeah,
here's where I start to have some now the people that are farther down on the list are, you know, you can make an argument one way or another, but once you start getting around this area where he's above Ann Wilson and he's above Paul McCartney and he's above Dave Grohl and he's above fucking even Jerry Garcia, for fucking fuck's sakes. I mean, Anthony Kiedis is a terrible vocalist and he's 28. Come on, man. killing me here.
So then they go into Tom York. We've got Janis Joplin at 25. from Big Brother and the Holding Company.
See,
unless she is a powerhouse front woman, as they call her in the article. See,
and that's where another, here's another one that I really disagree on, because not only was she a spectacular, gritty blues singer, but she was also a great front person. She did a fantastic job fronting this band. I've seen, and we all have, we've all seen plenty of footage of them. And she was not just a great, gritty, bluesy vocalist. She was a spectacular front person too. Right. So being 25th, don't agree with that at all. She should be higher.
Then it's kind of, this is where the list kind of, I know I'm a homer for metal, but it gains a little credibility for me, because, and this is where I think Eddie Trunk is a little off base with his take of being so mad about it, is they have Rob Halford at 24. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of cool. They're acknowledging Rob Halford that high up on the list. I think it's a good spot for him. I probably wouldn't have him a lot higher, but I think that he needs to be recognized as a vocalist, because he kind of is, he's like sets the template for the heavy metal vocalist back in the 70s. Judas Priest, guys, Black Sabbath notwithstanding, really created the template for heavy metal, period. And Rob Halford is a huge part of that. So I like this place for him.
Agree.
Says operatic four octave voice. Rob Halford raised the bar for metal singers all the way up to Valhalla. So I like it, man. I think it's a good spot for him.
Vedder, 22, Eddie Vedder.
We're giving Jarling some love in the at the 22 spot. Can I tell you something? And it's funny because doing Rock and Roll Autopsy, we've had very little negative feedback from people, but one of the only times I got negative feedback was the fucking Pearl Jam episode we did about Alive, where some guy gave me bullshit on Instagram about it. I am just not a member of the cult of Eddie Vedder. I like Pearl Jam perfectly fine, but some people really, really love Eddie Vedder as this charismatic, tortured frontman of Pearl Jam. Are you buying it?
No, they had, in my opinion, they had their first album was their best album, and they went downhill from there, and they got super soft and complacent, and they haven't made anything really that great since the first album. And so I know they're ridiculously popular. Even now they are. And so I don't see it.
See, I agree with the sentiment, but as a music listener, I am way more likely to listen to a new Pearl Jam album than the first one. I never want to hear the first one again, ever. And so when I listen,
I'm not going to listen to it anymore. I just think it's their best one. Well, that's Dark Side of the Moon, dude. Dark Side of the Moon is elite, but I've listened to it way too many times.
But you're right. Objectively, it's their best record. Objectively, it is.
Yeah, right.
You're right. But I listened to that one record they put out during COVID, Gigaton, I think it's called. I listened to that on Spotify a lot. I liked it. I liked the production of it.
Right. I'm not saying there are other stuff just bad.
I'm just not into the cult of Eddie Vedder as tortured, charismatic frontman. I just don't get the appeal. I don't get it.
How do you feel Jim Morrison being 21st?
Yeah, I mean, ahead of Eddie Vedder, thank God. But Jim Morrison, to me, the Doors, to me, in a lot of ways, I might, depending on the day of the week, I might say the Doors are the best rock band ever. Even though you could argue they don't really play rock, they play like psychedelic circus music.
Right. Rock back then.
Yeah, it was rock back then. But Jim Morrison, you could make an argument that he's the most charismatic frontman ever in the history of rock and roll. I think you could make a real strong. You could almost put Jim Morrison at one, and I'd be like, yeah, I could see it.
See, exactly.
So that's where I'm coming from with it.
Well, see, that's where, again, I was hoping you'd say that, because if you look at the totality of Jim Morrison and how, to your point, how fucking charismatic he was on stage and how great of a frontman he was from a really low key kind of oozing kind of a way. And some people don't like his voice.
Oh, yeah.
I think his singing voice was pretty fucking good, actually.
Yep, me too.
I really am a big fan of his singing voice. So he, in my opinion, for this list, should have been top five. Hi-ya!
David Lee Roth at 20. This is shocking.
We're gonna dig into this one a little bit.
He's another one where you could say, Rico, and okay, go back to the 80s with me. Okay. Yeah. You were, like me, hyper aware of what was going on in the world at the sweet spot age in the 80s. There was a time when David Lee Roth, as much of a cartoon as he is today, there was a time back then when he was arguably one of the biggest stars on the planet. And so him getting movie offers is one of the reasons why Van Halen broke up, because he was that big that people wanted to cast him in multiple Hollywood movie parts. And it was like his ego was getting out of hand because of it.
He became bigger than the band.
Yeah. But at 20.
And that band, for that matter, remember, dear listener, don't forget that as big as Motley Crue got, they weren't as big as Van Halen, and they all deified Van Halen. If you saw the movie, they spell that out plainly, that as huge as they got, they still weren't as big as Van Halen. And that's the guy right there that helped. Eddie Van Halen's playing was not enough to make that band as big as they were. They needed David Lee Roth to make them as huge as they were. So yeah, dude, 20th, disagreeing on that one.
Too high for you?
You're way too high, don't you think?
I don't know. Again, because
who's bigger, him or Jim Morrison? Who should be higher on the list?
Jim Morrison, but again, it's like we keep coming back to this of like how they frame the list. I mean, when you talk about a front person, and again, they're saying singers, which pretty much automatically disqualifies David Lee Roth from anything.
Yeah, no, vocalist is not his forte for sure.
No,
although he was good enough that it didn't pull people out of it, right? He was just good enough, right?
I mean, you could almost put him top 10 if you wanted to, or you could put him somewhere between 40 and 50.
Honestly. Wow, you could justify him being anywhere on the list, I guess, right? Depending on how you look at it.
17, next one up, Chris Cornell. Dave had a cassette of Bad Motorfinger when it came out. I remember I was with him when he bought it at Quonset Hut, and he popped it in his truck and we listened to it. And instantly I was like, wow, this is cool shit. And I was a day one buyer of Super Unknown when it came out. And I thought it was like Led Zeppelin for 1994. I mean, I thought it was amazing shit. So I was I loved Temple of the Dog. You know, I bought that CD used at Time Traveler. So, I mean, I loved everything that Cornell touched, but I also don't find him to be, this is going to sound bad because I know he wrote lyrics from the heart and suffered from depression and wrote about people that he lost in his life to drugs, but I don't find him to be particularly engaging.
Oh, what a great way to put that.
Does that make sense? He's a little bit like wallpaper. He's like grunge wallpaper.
He's a little bit aloof and not very user friendly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you need a front man to be a little bit accessible. And he doesn't seem very accessible.
Chrissy Hynde, Akron's own at 15. What say you?
I mean, I'm happy that a local made the list, let alone top 15, but shit, dude, she doesn't belong in a top 15. I mean, that's way. Firestone High School rules, right?
Yeah.
You guys went to the same high school, but way too, right? Come on. You agree with me, don't you?
I do agree with you. Yes.
Okay, good.
Steven Tyler at 14.
Yeah, actually, I would say for this list, if we are kind of redefining this list as a singer / frontman, I would put him top 15 for sure.
I think he's actually kind of underrated. I think he's a great frontman, and now some of his like exploits from the 70s are kind of burying him and overshadowing his contributions to music a little bit.
And I think there's some people speculating that he's still doing a bunch of coke. I don't know how true that is, but know, whatever. It kind of takes, kind of detracts from it a little bit. But yeah, I think he certainly belongs in the top 15. Absolutely.
What's up, music nerds? Are you tired of wading through a sea of mediocre music, desperately seeking to find a glimmer of greatness? You're in luck. My name is Mark, and I am the host of the podcast, Songs That Don't Suck. Each week, I scour the depths of new music playlists to unearth hidden gems that defy the trends and deliver pure sonic bliss. No matter the genre, if it doesn't suck, it's on my radar. So find us on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today. And as always, keep searching for and listening to Songs That Don't Suck.
Before you go, if you like heavy metal and stories, then you'll love Battle of the Bands, the narrative form metal podcast that unpacks the biggest rivalries in rock and metal history. Season 1 took in Megadeth versus Metallica, and Season 2 went across the divide to explore the beef between Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. It's like Business Wars, but metal. Find Battle of the Bands wherever you listen to your podcasts or visit battleofthebandspod.com.
You are listening to the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, number 12, gratuitous boomerism, Roger Daltrey, plus one.
Get off my lawn.
What do you think, man?
Listen,
the
man,
Who?
You know what? I'm glad that he's on the list, because do you think The Who gets overlooked? Like, they exist in the shadow of Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and the Beatles so much that I think they're really kind of overlooked a lot, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they are. I think them and Deep Purple are overlooked quite a bit.
So I kind of like him. Well, I like him on this list because, you know, if you don't really know anything about The Who, like for a long time when I was a youngling, you know, I thought that Roger Daltrey was really the guy, right? Because of how he fronted the band, and here later to find out really Pete Townshend was really behind everything. But that's a good front man, right? When you take it on and everybody thinks you're the guy, then that's, you're doing a great job. So from that perspective, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And yep. So I think him being 12 is kind of appropriate, actually, because I think he really did a great job fronting that band, because, you know, Pete Townshend is a gigantic person. And to be able to front that band successfully with that guy standing behind you, you know, that's well done, right?
Also, I mean, if for no other reason than meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I mean, the scream at the end of Won't Get Fooled Again.
Oh, I know. It's
amazing, really kind of like one of the first ones in rock music. You know, I know that's, you're getting into like what, 72 at that time, but
yeah,
you didn't hear that out of the Beatles. You didn't hear that out of Mick Jagger.
Oh, such a great song.
You don't even get that with like early Led Zeppelin, you know, with Robert Plant. But here's Roger Daltrey kind of like saying, you know, rock and roll, you need this, you know.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is like the quintessential rock and roll scream at the end of that song.
You know, propers to our guy Kyle out there. He always carried the Who torch, man. When nobody else carried the Who torch, our buddy Kyle always carried the torch for those guys, and rightfully so. I think Who is a dramatically underrated band and doesn't get enough credit. So yeah, I like him being on this list, and I think I like him being at number 12 too, actually.
So let's move on. 11, Robert Smith from The Cure.
Yeah, The Cure, man. I appreciate that kind of music, but The Cure is kind of a little out of my wheelhouse. I don't know if he's 11 or not. Maybe you can speak more on this one.
Too high for me.
To me, too high.
And I honestly, I don't think anyone from this kind of like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like post-punk, gothic pop thing that The Cure, I wouldn't put Depeche Mode here. I wouldn't put The Cure that high. I wouldn't put Bauhaus or Echo and the Bunnymen that high. I wouldn't put any of those bands.
I mean, he seems like the type of like the character of Robert Smith, the frontman, seems like he's too disgusted with being a frontman to be a frontman. You know, like he would rather just wallow in the corner and be depressed all day. He like seems like he invented emo, you know, made he was emo before emo was emo.
He doesn't even want to be.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like he never, he just seems like the person that would just rather curl up and die than be the front of any band. And yet here he is. Right. So I don't know, man.
It's like a waking nightmare for him to be sandwiched between Roger Daltrey and Axl Rose at number 10. He's like, why am I here?
Oh my God.
No, so Axl Rose, we're finally in the top 10. How do you feel about Axl being that high? I was surprised.
Gosh, yeah, I mean, certainly an electric personality from a lot of perspectives. I mean, I don't know, dude. I almost agree with it. I know it's weird me saying that because I'm one of the biggest Guns N' Roses fans out there. So what do you think? Like, where would you put him?
He is, I don't know that I put him top 10, but I definitely have him top 15 or 20.
Right.
I do think he's one of the, you know, I think he's the difference in Guns N' Roses. I mean, if Guns N' Roses is any other LA sleaze band without Axl Rose fronting that band, for better or for worse, you know?
So I suppose by me saying I almost agree with 10, I guess that puts him at 15 or 20 on my list too. So it's about right.
Bono from U2.
So from Joshua Tree, like U2 was one of those iconic stadium bands, right?
Yeah.
They were just a gigantic band, and a dude that fronts that big of a gigantic band, and he was a gigantic persona that fronted a gigantic band. So yeah, I kind of would put him in the top 10, don't you think?
It's funny because U2 is like, there was a window of time when U2 was my favorite band, and there was also a window of time when U2 was like, they called The Clash the only band that mattered back in the punk days. U2 was the biggest band on the planet for a window of time. And you're probably right. You're talking Joshua Tree, Rattle and Hum, up through to Act Tongue Baby, which is early 90s. So you're talking like mid to late 80s to early 90s, right up until the Pop Mart tour, when they started to kind of decline. But there was a window of time when no band was bigger than U2.
Yeah, that string of albums and tours that they did were just massive.
And they were
on top of everybody.
They were important. They were critical darlings. But they also had the fan support, too. So they were that rare band that the critics loved and the fans loved. And so they won their share of awards, but they also had like street cred. They could kind of have their cake and eat it too for a while, which was, that level of success was pretty incredible. You could make an argument, in my opinion, that Bono was like the blessing and the curse for that band, because you had super charismatic frontman, prone to long-winded political diatribes on stage. But what made him engaging also turned him off to a lot of people, too. You know, we've seen the South Park parodies of Bono as like the giant Randy turd, you know.
Oh, God, here it comes. Oh, hot, 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 my God.
It's like... So Bono is like, he's kind of like a lightning rod, a little bit like Eddie Vedder in that sense.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because U2 is like never talked about anymore. They put out records that people, that like they're a fart in the breeze. No one cares about. And they were the biggest band on the planet. They gave away a record on Apple that just showed up in everybody's iTunes one day, and they thought the world would love it, and everybody got pissed.
Everybody hated it. It was. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
was,
and Bono was like, I never knew that people would be so upset about free music. They did it as like a gift, you know? Yeah. And they've released records since then that no one cares about.
I know.
And they were like the biggest band in the world at one point.
And the only way that anyone could understand what we're saying, when you say they were the biggest band in the world, they were like Beatles big.
Yes.
They were like gigantic big. Like when they spoke politically, like politicians listened.
Yes.
Like they were that gigantic. Yes.
Yeah. Like the stratosphere of like Beatles, Michael Jackson, you know, they were up there in that upper aristocratic echelon of rock superstardom.
And
then
they just fucking disappeared and fell off the face of the earth.
No one cares.
It's weird. It's so weird how that happened for them in particular.
Like, I don't even know if they could, like, we've talked about Metallica and Taylor Swift and the massive ticket sales. I don't even know. They were once a band that absolutely was going to have the biggest tour of the year every time they went on tour. And now I don't even know if they would play. I mean, I'm guessing they're still a stadium act. I really don't know. I have no clue.
They were that band that would put 100,000 asses into a stadium everywhere they went. Everywhere.
So Bono at number nine. At one point, he was Freddie Mercury. He could command a crowd of 200,000 people. Mm-hmm. Like he'd have them in the palm of his hand. Like Freddie Mercury, probably the greatest to ever do it. He was right there, man. He was right fucking there.
Fact.
So I appreciate that they're acknowledging him. He's top 10 for me. I think this is kind of like a shrewd placement because they're paying homage to a guy who maybe doesn't still have that kind of gravitas.
Right.
But they're smart enough about the list to know how big he was at one time and give him
props
for that.
Yeah, agree totally. Number eight, Scott. This one is kind of confusing to me.
Yeah. It's George Clinton from Parliament.
Yeah.
At eight.
I'm not sure how to respond to that.
I don't either. It feels way too high. I'm just being honest. Shoot from the hip. It feels way too high to me. Like 40 spots too high.
like if you want to put them on right, I don't see. There's probably about 25 people on this list that all could easily be higher than him. Just easily. Eight? Boy, I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either. Debbie Harry at seven.
I mean,
I'm just going to be honest. I don't see this one either.
No, I don't see it. Hold on. I'm not going to mention, but I want to see the top six real quick here. Yes. Okay. So wait a minute. All right. So, Debbie Harry, you know who probably maybe could be in that spot. Although even Pat Benatar would be way too high at number seven. Debbie Harry, no fucking way is she number seven. If you want to put somebody like that there, you could put Pat Benatar there. But I even think that would be too high.
Too high.
But Pat Benatar would be higher on this list than Debbie Harry is my point. And Debbie Harry certainly is not number seven.
So they don't have Tina Turner on this list because they're thinking of her as a solo act.
Yeah.
So she's not on here. We're looking for a woman to put in this place, I guess, is what you and I are trying to do.
A woman, front man.
A what?
Gosh. All right. Let's think about that. Now I'm trying to think sooner than the 90s. Okay. I'm trying to not just look at way, way, way back. I automatically think of like Janis Joplin. You could probably put Janis Joplin there.
Yes.
You could probably put
Janis Joplin and Debbie Harry's places in the list and probably fix it.
Let's just do that. Let's flip flop Debbie Harry and Janis Joplin. That would be better right there. Okay, good. David Byrne, number six.
Talking Heads. I like the Talking Heads.
I do too.
Way too high for me. This list gets weird right now. That's like the list to me has a lot of things going for it. And I'm thinking, oh, it's cool. They thought of that person. It's cool. They gave them props. And now the list starts to get fucking weird to me.
I think it's because.
Are they trying to be too cool for school? Is that what it is in these picks?
I think here is where they start to outthink themselves a little bit.
Yes, with the George Clinton and
Now, David Byrne, what is he known for? The music is hitting me on stage. I think that he was quoted as saying because of how he had like the weird gyrations on stage and stuff. And I remember him talking about it. It's like that's the music hitting me. Right. And OK, fine. And that's what he was famous for. And the big jacket with the big shoulders. I agree. I really like the Talking Heads a lot. I think their music was super good and unique. And he was really good but number six, no way is he number six.
Rico, when you're in the top 10, all of these picks should just be like you're watching the Major League Baseball home run derby.
Oh my God.
They should all be like out of the park. We should not be arguing about whether they should belong 30 spots lower when you're in the top 10.
The top 10 should be the fucking Mount Rushmore of rock and roll lead singers, right?
Yeah, but instead we're having trouble figuring it out. We're like, why?
Yeah.
So this is where the list goes sideways for me. It's not because Ronnie James Dio isn't on it. It's because I can't make sense of some of these picks now. Kurt Cobain at 5.
Scott, what do you feel about that?
You're punting on it. You're putting it on me. Dude. All right. I'll take it.
You know what? No. All right. I'll own it. I'm not. I won't.
You want to see what I do with it.
I deflected. All right. But I won't deflect. I'll take this one. I think Kurt Cobain. All right. So he ought to be recognized for the impact that he had on the music industry. He helped define a genre of music. He took everybody out of the hairband 80s and brought them into the grunge 90s. And I know they hated that term, into the Seattle sound of the 90s. Okay. He opened the door to a new decade of music. He is a defining character. He's one of those anti-frontmen. He felt like it was just a giant sellout, and he hated people that he felt were selling out. So I don't even think he would fucking even want to be on this list.
That's true.
Let alone number five. And I don't think he would be saying that just to bring attention to himself. I really fucking think he wouldn't want to be on this list. I think he would hate a list like this. I don't think if you want to put him on the list for the impact that he had, sure, you could probably put him in the top 20 or 25, maybe. But fuck, no way is he number five, Scott. Go ahead.
Do you see that? Because I've seen this and things I've read. I go to Walmart and I see this when I look at the t-shirt rack in the men's department.
Yeah.
Nirvana's place in rock history, 30 plus years on, is growing. You know, when Eddie Van Halen died, I think it was Rick Beato who said that you're going to see Jimi Hendrix's star fade because the music to modern ears sounds dated. You can hear the antiquated production qualities of 1960s Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
And he said Hendrix's star is going to fade into the past, whereas Eddie Van Halen's star will rise. He said this post Eddie Van Halen's death, because the music, all especially the old 70s stuff with Roth, sounds really vibrant and relevant and still sounds good today.
I think that's right.
And
yes. Okay.
Have you noticed the same phenomenon is happening with Nirvana, where Nirvana is gaining importance? They already had the mantle of defining Generation X, defining grunge, killing hair, but Nirvana is even getting bigger now. When I take my daughter to school, so many kids have Nirvana t-shirts on. Post Malone, one of the biggest modern stars during the pandemic, did an entire Zoom Nirvana concert where he played all their Nirvana. You can pull it up on YouTube and watch it. He's a rapper who picked up a guitar and played all their Nirvana songs. Yeah. I see a lot of rappers wearing Nirvana gear. I was in Kenmore, Ohio a couple months ago to take my daughter to a birthday party.
I'm sorry.
I had time to kill, so I went into the music store there.
Yeah.
And there was in the music store an African-American family picking out a guitar for their daughter, and their daughter, who was a teenager, sat down and started playing Nirvana, Come As You Are, on the guitar.
That's freaking cool.
Nirvana is the gateway entry rock band now for young people who want to get into rock, and they're only gaining in importance as time goes on.
But it's not, I agree with everything that you're saying. They are that impactful of a band, but it's the band, and it's not Kurt Cobain and a couple of guys that play the instruments in the background. I don't see him as fronting a band. I see them all as one unit. I see them as the band, and I don't see it the way that this list is seeing it.
Can we stay on this for a moment, though, Rico?
Yes,
you and I we're both roughly the same age. We're the same generation, same memories, same time. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I, even though we lived it, we don't see this as being as significant as these authors see it, do we?
No.
I'm
telling you, I'm only saying what I'm saying in today's eyes, but you are right. Back, if I put my 1991 eyes on and my 1991 brain on, it was, gosh, people recognized Nirvana, but it wasn't this holy shit, this is like the skies opened up and God created Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. Nobody thought of it in those terms, because you could probably do a better job than me, but it was the entire body of the whole movement and not just them. Like, we saw the totality of that type of music and how it took us away from the 80s, because us as Gen Xers really didn't fit into the 80s like we fit into the 90s. And so we didn't see, I don't think anybody really saw Nirvana was these fucking three Jesus Christ figures that led us out of the darkness. It was just a really cool band, like Soundgarden was cool, like Pearl Jam was cool, like fucking like Pantera was really cool in the early 90s. Like, Alice in Chains, like they were.
But Rico,
everybody saw all of those bands in that way, and not just these guys.
But let me try to distill it down even further.
Help me out here.
Do you feel like I feel that I just said there's this groundswell where they're growing in importance, and I tried to outline some ways in which I see their legend growing and expanding.
Yeah.
But can I speak for you and me and say that us as guys who were on the ground at that time and now with 30 plus years of hindsight, I'm not crazy about Nirvana. They're a little overrated to me. Am I speaking accurately for you too?
Yeah. I thought that when they came out. No, I'm being honest with you, because,
Nirvana was the band I listened to the least of all those bands. I didn't need to listen to them. They were on the radio all the fucking time. I didn't need to go out and pop the Nevermind CD into my car disc changer back in 1993.
Can I be perfectly honest with you? I never owned a Nirvana disc. And in fact, it wasn't until probably post 2010 before I listened to that album in its entirety. It was probably 20 years after the album came out before I listened to the whole album. That's how much I didn't care about it.
So when I see him at 5 here, it's like what I see is more of like a reflection of how the legacy has kind of endured and evolved. But my personal feelings around Nirvana are, I like their music quite a bit. I like a lot of their music, but I don't love them the way I do other bands of that era. And I don't connect with them the way someone, and I'm of the age that should have connected with them. But right. I don't have that connection to them. So it's all very weird to me to see them kind of endure the way they have and their music to become as important as it has, you know?
I know exactly what you're saying, and I didn't latch on to that. That's why when we were talking about Chris Cornell, I was like, well, you know, you can talk about them more, because I never really latched on to any of those bands like people are now. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're deifying this band. And I'm like, at the time, I didn't really go out of my way for any of them, really.
Right. And I'm like, when I see all my daughter's friends in junior high school wearing Nirvana shirts, I'm like,
oh my God,
you should listen to the Ramones. You know, and it's like, I'm thinking there, you should listen to the bands that like influence Nirvana. I don't know. I just feel a weird disconnect to Nirvana. So to make a long story short, I understand why they're putting him here at five.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
But it does, it sits weird with me as someone who feels very intimately kind of close to this grunge phenomenon, because it's right in my sweet spot as a teenager and a music fan.
Yep, for sure. Agree.
Four, back to the boomerism, Robert Plant.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's Robert, a great front man, great singer, charisma. Like total package, right? He wore those shirts with the puffy shirts that we, or with the puffy shoulders that we talked about before, with the shirt open, and is like in this picture right here. Like that is quintessential Robert Plant right there.
Yeah, and the template for all of the blonde haired frontmen that would follow in the decade after the 70s, right? Yeah. So he kind of like created that mold. But
I mean, well, let me ask you this: who created that blonde frontman look first? Was what, did he create this, or did Roger Daltrey create it first?
No, it could be Roger Daltrey. But honestly, have you ever pulled up like old Led Zeppelin live and watched it on YouTube at all?
Occasionally, once in a while.
Periodically, I'll do that because I kind of want to figure out, like, I like Led Zeppelin and I really love the Physical Graffiti record. I love a lot of their songs, but Led Zeppelin's like I have a weird relationship with them. I don't always really get it. And when I watch the live stuff, it's like, I'm more like, Plant just kind of annoys me, and I'm more interested in what Jimmy Page is doing. So does that make a good point?
I agree with you. I have the same. God, dude, this is why we're doing this. Like, I think sometimes I think we're a little too alike. We need to disagree more again. But no, I have the same relationship with Led Zeppelin. Like, I never went out of my way for them ever, ever, ever. And so I agree with you. I don't know. I never really understood the deal with them.
Yeah. And it's probably because we grew up in an era when classic rock radio was dominated by Led Zeppelin, and you were just being fed Led Zeppelin songs nonstop. And Robert Plant was the singer that, to me, just never shut up. He was always moaning, like, listen to Whole Lotta Love. And he never shuts up with the ad libs through the whole fucking song. It's like, shut up. You have a great band behind you. Let us hear them. All right, let's wrap this bitch up. Number three, Freddie Mercury.
He should be number one, in my opinion. That is without a question in my mind. He should be number three. Is way too low for him.
I can live with him in the top five. You know, I think there's no question that when you think of rock, great rock frontmen, he's probably the first guy that comes to mind. So as long as he's in the top five somewhere, as long as those people they've got around him aren't too freaking weird, I can live with it. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, he's three, and I guess I can live with that, but he should be number one in my opinion.
Two, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, dude. I'm not understanding this one either.
This, like, is a real what the fuck moment.
This
right
is it big time, because I mean, I would probably put her, like, no joke, dude. She's top 20, maybe top 20, top 25, maybe.
Do we even give a fuck about Fleetwood Mac? Like, I mean, Fleetwood Mac's a great band, but I mean, are we really,
they
like,
had,
when you
dude,
think
they
about
had,
the.
They had one good album, Rumors.
Yeah. I mean, when you think That's about it. Rock history, are we really like putting that much?
No. Like, does anybody care about Fleetwood Mac? There's, how many times do, when people talk about 70s rock, does anybody care about Fleetwood? Nobody even talks about Fleetwood Mac. How is she making number two on this list?
And at number one, they've got Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. How do you feel about it?
I'm going to defer to you on this because you're a much larger Stones fan than I am.
I can totally dig this pick. I have no problem with Mick Jagger.
Really?
None. So I'm. What do you think? You got a problem with it?
Freddie Mercury is my number one, dude. I mean, I would put Jagger easily in the top three or five for sure.
I think in a good list, you would want the top five to be like, well, any of those guys could be really number one, and it's okay. Up to the reader to kind of like suss that out, right?
Okay, that's a better way.
You have a bad list when you look at a top five and you're like, some of those people don't belong.
Okay, you know what I mean? Let's look at this top five. And to your point, I agree with you 100%. You should be able to look at the top three or five and say any one of those could be number one. Could Stevie Nicks ever be number one on this list?
No.
Okay. Could Freddie Mercury ever be number one on this list?
Yes.
Okay. Could Robert Plant ever be number one on this list?
Yes. As much as I want to say no, I'm going to say yes, because Led Zeppelin were that big.
And finally, could Kurt Cobain ever be on this list?
Yes. Even as much as I hate, no. Number one, I'm going to say, gosh, can I say yes and no?
Could he ever be top three?
Yes, because people are putting that much importance on the legacy. I'm not saying from my perspective. I'm saying
I agree. I see what you're saying.
The writers and the minds behind rock and roll journalism now are putting so much weight on Nirvana that I could see him being like a number one from their perspective. From my perspective, no. I would have Bon Scott at number one. I would have Bon Scott and Jello Biafra in the one and two slot.
Yeah, dude.
If I was doing,
you know what? Okay.
I'd put Joey Ramone.
All right, so hang on. Hold on a second. Why isn't Bon Scott on this fucking list? Super charismatic frontman. I certainly think he ought to be on this list. He was a unique vocalist.
If it's 50 people, he should be, even if he's number 50, he should be on the list. I mean, they should have him on the fucking list. If it's 50, you know? That's even if they put him last, it's stupid. And I'll side with Eddie Trunk. It's stupid that Ronnie James Dio is not on the list. It's 50 fucking singers. You mean he's not one of the top 50 rock singers?
I totally agree. Okay,
so for AC/DC and Black Sabbath and Rainbow, I know, dude. It's like those are huge bands, you know.
So let's review. So of the top 10. Number, we've got what? The fucking list is reloading here. So we've got one, Bono at nine. George Clinton is a big issue. Debbie Harry is a big issue. David Byrne is a big issue.
Yes.
And number two, Stevie. So of the top 10, four of them are gigantic. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. Of the top 10, four of them are what the hell's going on?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Would you put George Clinton, not George Clinton, is that his fucking name?
Yep.
Okay, would you put George Clinton, Debbie Harry, or David Byrne in the fucking pantheon, top 10 pantheon? Would you put them on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll lead singers ever?
They're barely in the top 50. I mean, it's like they're just I don't understand why they're so high there.
Help me understand that then.
I don't get it.
So that's the weird part about this. So I guess to answer the question, does this list make sense? Well, yes and no, right? I don't think we really figured that out. It makes sense in some parts, and in other parts it doesn't make any sense. So I guess those two things cancel each other out. It's kind of like a tie in football.
Yeah, I'd put Bon Scott at one. I'd put Jello Biafra at two. I really would. I'm not even lying. Jello Biafra was amazing front man. He ran for fucking mayor of San Francisco. He was such an amazing front man.
Dude's awesome. Who else? Like, is there anybody off the top of your head that could be on this list that isn't? We've got 5 minutes.
Lemmy.
What about, here's an interesting, I'm going to say no, but I want to hear what you, Geddy Lee. I'm going to say if he's on the list, he's probably in the bottom
Yeah, not charismatic enough behind.
What
them.
About like
What
about Roger Waters?
No,
okay.
No stage presence. I would put Johnny Rotten on the list from the Sex Pistols. He's not on there at all. Johnny Rotten absolutely owned the stage.
Fuck yeah, that's a good
fronting
one.
A band with fucking Sid Vicious, and he could hold his own. So I would have Johnny Rotten like high on the list.
Boy, that's a good one right there.
All right, Rico.
Yeah.
Did we figure this thing out?
No, I think we'd have figured out that we didn't figure it out.
All right. Good night now. Die, Johnny! Die, Johnny!
Johnny! Die! Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it was like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
To the dawn, love it till the morning. I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNRAutopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.